Well, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, and welcome back to the Thai Expat Daily Show. I'm your host, Kieran Mack, as always, and delighted you've been able to tune in with us yet again for another show. Now, before we do get started, don't forget to like this video, subscribe to the channel, and give us an old share on social media if you can. Now, if you like listening to us on a podcast player, there's a link down below in the description, which will take you to a website where a vast array of podcast players can be found. And finally, if you want to support the show, if you like the show, couple of ways you can do it. The first way is just to become a channel member, and you can do so through YouTube, or alternatively you can also buy us a coffee on buymeacoffee.com, link also down below in the description. And finally, if you want to follow us on TikTok or Instagram, links are also down below there. On TikTok, we're doing short versions of these videos, so you'll get them for a minute 30, and you can subscribe and follow us there as well. It's proven to be quite popular and a great way to get your news in the evening time. So now that's all done and dusted, let's jump into the top stories doing the rounds here in Thailand today. Passenger service charges rise at main airports. Passenger service charges have been increased at 6 main airports in Thailand, announced by the Airports of Thailand PLC. The charges for departing passengers on both domestic and international flights have risen from 700 to 730 baht for international flights and from 100 to 130 baht for domestic flights. These charges apply to Chiang Mai, Chiang Rai, Don Muang, Hat Yai, Phuket and Suvarnabhumi airports. Now, according to the AOT president, Karati Kijawanwat, the hike in service charge is to cover the cost of AOT's common use passenger processing system, which includes automatic services such as the common use terminal equipment for boarding passes, common use self-service for airport check-ins and common use bag drop. Looking ahead, Mr. Vichet, general manager of Don Muang Airport, anticipates a significant surge in traffic during the upcoming Songkran Festival from April 11 to 17th. He projected that Don Muang Airport will see a daily influx of about 90,000 travelers, marking a 14.8% increase from the previous year, along with 590 flights per day, up by 10%. So it looks like it's going to be busy. Of course, we're expecting it to be busy over the Songkran holidays here in Thailand. And of course, the daughter of Mr. Thaksin Shinawatra has been put in charge of the Soft Power Committee, focusing mainly on creating a soft power from the Songkran Festival. They are the ones that are responsible for the festivities for 3 weeks here in the Kingdom of Thailand. So, of course, if it's not going to be an increase, I think people will be looking at them wondering, well, you're spending all this money, and we have seen actually no increase in tourism and no increase in revenue spending from tourists. So they'll probably be looking at these people going, what exactly have you been doing in your committee? But we'll see what Pei Tung Tarn has been up to. I'd be interested to see if there's going to be a huge increase that would condone the spending of money that they've spent, and the elongating of this holiday from a few days to 3 weeks. Now, an interesting story that I spotted a couple of days ago, but it really highlights the bad behavior of people and foreigners coming to Thailand. But US kick streamer provokes brawl in Thailand. A bizarre turn of events during a night out in Thailand, a kick streamer known as Genu found himself embroiled in controversy as his online antics took a dangerous turn. What began as a boastful declaration of seeking a brawl quickly spiraled into a confrontation with angry locals. Now, Genu, an American national, swaggered down a bustling street. His live stream captured his reckless desire for physical conflict. Things took a troubling turn when Genu appeared to threaten a bystander off camera, inciting outrage among onlookers. A group of irate locals confronted him, sending him into a panicked retreat. Now, this isn't the first time such behavior has landed a kick streamer in hot water. Recall Johnny Somali's infamous escape in Japan last year, which drew international condemnation, leading to his arrest and a hefty fine. So let's hope Genu learns from this debacle before facing similar consequences. So I just don't get this kind of thing. You come to Thailand, you're here, and okay, you're making content while you're here, but the best way you think to make content is to basically provoke locals and try to get in a fight and capture it all on video so you'll get lots of likes. I mean, this is the world we're living in at the moment, which I can say it's just complete and utter nonsense. Society has really gone downhill in the last couple of years. And with people like this, I genuinely think that immigration need to step in. When this stuff comes to the forefront, they see videos, just find the guy, little word with him. Listen, buddy, Thailand's not for you, and take him to the airport. That's it. Deported, blacklisted, and not allowed back in the country. And this needs to happen to a lot of people who are coming here. There is a an unnatural amount of troublemakers coming to Thailand at the moment. And I genuinely think the government need to have stricter enforcement of the laws and have stricter entry requirements. If you're planning to come to Thailand, you know, for 60 days, you got to be able to show that you can afford to be here for 60 days. By the way, it's not unknown for countries to demand letters from your employer saying that you have a job abroad or at home, that you have money in your bank. For example, if you go to Australia, they can ask you, or you go to America, immigration will ask you for a letter from your employer sometimes showing that you've got the time off work to be coming to America for 2 or 3 weeks. When people come to Thailand and they have a ticket for, let's say, 3 months, an airline ticket or 2 month airline ticket, asking the questions such as, immigration to ask a question such as, oh, okay, you're coming for 2 months. How would you do that? Do you have a job at home? What do you do at home? Oh, yeah, I just travel around. Well, where does your money come from? How much money do you have on you? Can we see your bank account? I'd like to know how much money you have coming into Thailand. These kind of questions I don't think are wrong to ask. American immigration do. Australian immigration do. They're strict about who they let into their country. And they make sure that people, you know, generally people with criminal records don't get to go to America. You get banned. I mean, I think Thailand's at the point where, you know, maybe they need to stop thinking about the tourist numbers and hitting 40 million this year and think about the quality of tourists that are coming into the country. Because if you look at the media reporting in the last 6 months, it has been very negative towards foreigners. I genuinely think they're going to have to start to do something. But that's my opinion about it. I'd love to know yours down below in the comment section, as always. And speaking of foreigners behaving badly, an Italian man was arrested in the early hours in Patong for drunk driving. Another one. An Italian man found himself in hot water with the law during the early hours of Sunday morning in Patong, and that was in Phuket. Claudio Tomaselli, a 50-year-old Italian national, got on the wrong side of the Patong police when his blood alcohol content, that's BAC, registered a staggering 95 milligrams per deciliter on a breathalyzer test, pretty much double the legal limit. It was around 4 a.m. near Lomo Circle at the northern end of Patong when Patong police took Mr. Tomaselli into custody. Given that his BAC was nearly twice the legal limit, Mr. Tomaselli found himself escorted to the Patong police station and charged with driving while intoxicated. By the way, the legal limit is 50 milligram per deciliter. Now, the consequences for Mr. Tomaselli are the same, by the way, for the Italian gentleman that was caught a couple, or not Italian, the Iranian gentleman that was caught a couple of days ago. If this was his first offence, he could face a fine ranging from 5 to 20,000 and or up to a year behind bars. He'll probably get the fine. However, if he repeats the offence within 2 years, the penalties skyrocket. Repeat offenders could be looking at a fine of between a 50 and 100,000 or a jail term of up to 2 years. Now, the incident highlights a broader issue regarding road safety, and particularly in Phuket. Now, according to the Thai Road Safety Foundation, that's the THARSC, the first quarter of 2024 saw 52 road fatalities in Phuket, marking a worrying 57% increase compared to the same period last year. Moreover, over 7,155 individuals ended up in hospitals due to road accidents, marking a 21% uptick year on year. What's particularly concerning is the prevalence of nighttime accidents resulting in fatalities. Now, out of the 52 fatalities this year, a staggering 30 occurred between 10 p.m. at nighttime and 7 a.m. in the morning, accounting for 58% of the total deaths. This figure starkly contrasts with the national average, where the same time frame only accounts for just less than 30% of road deaths. Now, clearly, there's a pressing need for heightened vigilance and stricter enforcement to ensure the safety of both residents and visitors navigating Phuket's roads. So let's hope this serves as a wake-up call for everyone to prioritize responsible driving and road safety. And I mean, I think this article just highlights something we've spoken about on this show many, many times. The need for law enforcement to make sure the laws are being enforced in the country, and particularly on the roads. And by the way, this Lomo checkpoint, I think it's pretty much here every night. So, I mean, if you're getting caught there, you're just, I don't know, stupid, or just, you've no idea what you're doing, you know? Of course, he was drunk, so he probably didn't know what he's doing. Again, that's where the Iranian gentleman a few nights ago was also caught. There's no excuse for drink driving. It's just an unacceptable behavior in my view. And yeah, I think the book should be thrown at both of them. By the way, one of the things that you might notice here in Thailand is there's never any follow-up on this. We never hear what happened to these guys, how much their fine was, how did they go to prison. I mean, this Swiss guy, by the way, since he was in the newspaper 3 or 4 weeks ago, and he's the guy who caused many problems here in Phuket and around Thailand for a lot of people now. Nothing about him since. No reporting. Has he gone back to his own country? What happened? Nothing. And I genuinely think there needs to be more reporting of this, and it's something we're going to try to find out more and how we can find this information and bring it to you and follow up on our news articles. And finally, very strange, when I read this story first, I genuinely thought the word was spelt wrong. And I kept looking and then I realized it was correct. So Muketar shop owner is in trouble for caning. Caning. I thought it was meant canning, you know, like firing somebody. I then had to look at it again and realized it was actually caning staff who were late for work. Now, in a troubling turn of events, a Muketar shop owner finds herself in hot water after allegedly resorting to corporal punishment against tardy employees. Anang Sidapram, a concerned mother, took matters into her own hands and filed a complaint with the Pattaya police against the owner of Pha Sang South Pattaya, a Thai-style shabu hot pot shop. Now, Anang's grievance stems from allegations that the shop owner, known as Je Pha, administered caning to her son, Pacharapal, who was 18 years of age, a whopping 16 times, and to her daughter-in-law, Natawat, who's also 22 years of age, and she got caned 6 times. Shockingly, Pacharapal even volunteered for additional strokes to half his wife's punishment. The distressing incident came to light after Anang stumbled upon a viral Facebook video depicting the caning, prompting her journey to Udon Thani province to uncover the truth. Initially aiming for an amicable resolution, Anang planned to meet the shop owner at the police station. However, upon the owner's absence, she pivoted towards legal action, urging her son and daughter-in-law to press charges. Now, public outrage ensued as netizens condemned what they deemed as barbaric punishment methods. Not barbaric, it's nuts. The shop owner, Yuadi Boon Sarn, defended the practice, attributing it to an agreement between the owner and the staff. Formerly, lateness incurred a monetary fine, but discrepancies arose, leading to the adoption of caning as an alternative disciplinary measure. By the way, when they say that there is a monetary fine but discrepancies arose, what they meant by that was that they were late so much and the fine was so much that they actually ended up having no salary at the end of the month and owed the shop owner money. That's the discrepancies, by the way. However, Pacharapal and Natawat's tune changed upon filing the complaint, expressing remorse and vowing not to return to their former workplace. Despite assertions from the shop owner that the staff had consented to the punishment method, the incident has sparked widespread debate on acceptable disciplinary practices in the workplace. As the investigation unfolds, the shop owner has pledged compensation to the aggrieved couple and plans to implement monetary deductions for tardiness moving forward. The controversy underscores broader discussion surrounding employee rights and appropriate disciplinary action in the modern workplace. So I wouldn't even know where to begin on this story. I generally, as I said at the beginning, I thought they were canned. You know, I was reading it wrong and it turns out they were caned, which is just absolutely crazy in 2024 to think something like that was going on. Now, this thing, you go to the police, totally understand that, right? And that's where you need to go. But this is where the Department of Labour are meant to step in next, which there was no mention, by the way, in the article. Now, the department, I'm going to hazard a guess as well that they're not paying any tax. The owner of the Muketar is probably not paying any tax or much tax. And they certainly aren't having Social Security deducted from their salaries. And she's certainly not paying Social Security. I'm making this an assumption here because this is genuinely what goes on here in Thailand. Just to clarify, in Thailand, we've got a population of about 60 plus million people, with about only 2 million people in the country actually paying tax. But regardless of which, even if they're not paying the social service and whatnot, the Department of Labour should be investigating this. And this woman, the shop owner who owns the shop, should be taken to court and should be prosecuted, not just by the police, but the Department of Labour. Of course you can't do this. It's 2024. The Department of Labour, the actual labour law in Thailand, prohibits anything like this. So the idea that they consented to it and that's why it was okay is just complete nonsense. I mean, you can consent to many things, but if it's illegal under the law, it doesn't make it correct in practice, if you know what I mean. So for example, if something's written in your contract that I sign and say I'm allowed to be caned, right? Just because it's in my contract, but it's illegal to do so, the contract's null and void. It doesn't matter. So this happens a lot in Thailand too, by the way. It's something we'll go into in another podcasts about foreigners working in Thailand, things that are put into their contract that are actually illegal under Thai law and therefore make their contract null and void. And this is something we'll talk about in a different show in a future time. But I'd love to know what you think about all this. It does seem rather crazy, but yes, things like this are still happening in Thailand. As always, I'd love to know your comment down below in the comment section. And as we conclude today's episode, I want to invite you to share your thoughts in the comments below. This show isn't just about delivering news, it's about fostering a conversation. Your insights and perspectives matter. So keep the dialogue alive, like the video, subscribe to our channel, and share it with others. Your support means the world to us. I'm Kieran Mack, and you've been tuning in to the Thai Expat Daily Show. Until next time, take care and stay engaged.